This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 26, with CEO of Girl Boss Graphics, Charlotte Buñol.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is the show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. Today's hosts are Layla Ramadi and myself, JC Preston. We're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people do passion-filled work and, more importantly, giving them the resources and community they need to help share it with others. You know, I'm so pumped up for today's guests. I think you all are really going to get a lot out of this session. Our guest is Charlotte Buñol, who is actually a home girl. Is that a word? of Layla's. If you don't know Charlotte, but you know of, say, Beachbody, you might know a coach that uses her work in their branding. What makes Charlotte's story unique to many is that within a very short period of time, she's been able to make her business not only take flight, but make it a lifestyle-based business that allows her to travel the world with her professional golfer husband. Some of the things that we discussed today are the path that got her to where she is, what she learned from the stops in her career that she's applying today, where the idea of Girl Boss Graphics comes from, and what exactly is the difference between niche marketing and niche product development. Today's episode is powered by Fizzle. Fizzle is one of my favorite communities on the web. If you want to make a dent in the universe doing something that you care about, then Fizzle.co is your one-stop resource. It's honest training and a genuine community for people who are building online business. You know, you could scrounge around the web and put together this piece and that piece of information for, you know, thousands of dollars, I'm sure. However, at Fizzle, they have video courses that you can learn just in time from. And on top of that, membership costs $35 a month, which again, compared to many courses out there, is priced fairly well, I think. And remember, as a Angles of Latitude podcast listener, you can get free access to the library and forums for a 2-week trial period if you go through newinceptions.com/fizzle. So again, I'm pumped for you guys to hear from Charlotte today. I definitely think this talk will be a favorite of yours if you're looking to be a freelancer, because it shows what's possible in just a short amount of time. If you have questions for myself, Layla, or Charlotte, send us our way at heyguys@newinceptions.com. You can also follow along at home via the show notes at newinceptions.com/session26. So, without further ado, let's dive into this inspiring talk with Charlotte Buñol. What's up, everybody? And it's me, JC, and I'm here with Layla, and welcome back to the show. How are you doing today, Layla?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Can't complain. It's starting to pick up a little bit of snow here in Indy, but yeah, you know, that's what you get in the middle of February, right? But hey, so today's guest is the founder and creative director behind Girl Boss Graphics. While she is a millennial, her experience includes working with some of rather successful companies, including doing student counseling for the Nielsen Company and being a part of the acquisition team for the number one state firm agent in the country, which in 6 months she achieved the title of top producer of the 20 plus people at the agency. That's pretty kind of, that's kind of a big deal. Well, part of that experience was State Farm. She was in sales, true, but she saw her fair share of branding and marketing. And in fact, she found out that she loved branding so much that she felt that she was being pulled elsewhere to do marketing, which she eventually did as chief marketing officer for Chalk, Cullum, and Associates. Eventually, though, she got the entrepreneur bug like we all have, and today she works with dozens of entrepreneurs and individuals to build their brands and helps them to develop a strategy that will increase brand exposure, recognition, and overall brand identity. Her clients include many of the top Beachbody coaches and other fitness professionals, and she has built a reputation as the go-to girl for graphics in that particular industry. Her clients range from those just getting started building their teams to elite and superstar diamond coaches. So it's one hell of an introduction. And so without further ado, Charlotte Buñuel, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. And
I'm excited to be on your show today.
Appreciate you being here. Definitely come with an exciting background there. And everything that's actually all done before the ripe old age of 30. And you're actually the comparison between where Layla is to where I'm at, you're in relation to her as far as age. So we'll just kind of start with that. So let's kind of go back into your background a little bit. It seems that you have obviously a pretty extensive career already. First off, how did you know you wanted to be a businesswoman in the first place? I mean, you had a bachelor's in business admin, right?
Yes, in marketing.
Okay. So was that something that you knew that you always wanted to get into, or how did you?
Not necessarily. I actually started out as a pre-med major, and I had dreams. I said all growing up that I wanted to be an anesthesiologist. I don't know why. I think I had the impression that they made a lot of money. And so that's what I wanted to do, because all they have to do is give a shot and put people to sleep and wake them up. It's easy enough. But so 2 years into my degree, I realized this is so hard and these labs are killing me. I don't want to do this. And I was working at Dillard's at the time, and the juniors department selling clothes. And I met my best friend there. She also worked there, and she was just finishing up her marketing degree at Abilene Christian University, where I went to school. And I was like, what's marketing? And she started telling me about it, and it sounded really interesting. And I've always been really interested in the way products look, the way product packaging looks, and billboards, and you know, the way people market themselves, like if a commercial is good or not good and how they could have done better. Like I've always been very opinionated on those things. So, switching my major over to business, I knew would be a smart move for me, because business you can use in so many different jobs. And then with the focus in marketing, that's just, it tied into my creativity and that side of me. So I think that's why I wanted to get into marketing in the first place. And then from there, being in business school, that's where I sort of just got the bug, and I was good at it, and I was interested, and it was the right move for me to make.
Right. So that's kind of interesting. That's very actually kind of similar to how I switched my majors. But unlike you, I didn't go completely different. I went from electrical engineering tech, and yeah, big difference. And you know, I eventually kind of still didn't use the degree, just like I probably wouldn't have used a double E degree. And in hindsight, I should have gotten a business degree as well. So good on you for making that early assessment and figuring out what it was that you wanted to do. So kind of, if you would, you'd mentioned before the show that you had done pretty well with that, and in fact, in your bio, it said that you got into student consulting for the Nielsen company. And the Nielsen company, again, is the company that's in charge of ratings for different, you know, for the TV ratings across the U.S. Correct? Is that the same one?
Yes, it's actually a global company, and they do ratings worldwide.
Okay. So how did you actually get into that, and what did you learn from that experience?
Well, I was studying abroad in Oxford, England, with the College of Business at ACU, and so there was this global apprentice program program that they put out there to all of the College of Business students that we had to apply for. And I was actually chosen as one of the people who got to participate in that. And so while studying abroad, we got to sort of have like an internship with the Nielsen company, and it was amazing. Like we did market research on impulse purchases for candy bars and Cokes and all of those items that are beside the checkouts. Whenever you check out, like, do you grab a pack of gum? If so, which one do you grab and why do you grab it? So like that was sort of the work that we did for Nielsen. And
wow,
it was really neat because we got to go to the headquarters there in England for Nielsen and have like an official meeting and see all of our data and see how they really do all of that and how that works. And it was,
wow,
it was really interesting.
Yeah. That, you know, one of the things that I always think is interesting, especially ever since I got into the, you know, the creative space slash, you know, entrepreneur space, whatever you want, you know, marketing, you know, I've been able to see what, when people are marketing or when they're doing advertisements or if they're upselling or something like that, I can actually see what it is that they're doing. And I can imagine that having that experience with Nielsen kind of gave you that same insight to be able to understand why, you know, things are placed a certain way, or like you said there by the checkout. But I mean, what kind of things do you recall, now you can actually see kind of like with that sixth sense?
Well, I think it's important how you position product or position your service. I just, from all of my experience with the Nielsen company, it just made me realize that people make decisions subconsciously. And so you, in order to be successful, you got to learn to market yourself so that your customer's subconscious mind will go for it.
Right, right. It's all all about psychology. Right? You know, people don't think about that. I mean, for the most part, when people think about marketing, it's like, oh, they're using shiny colors. Well, there's a reason that they're using, you know, shiny colors and Twitter and, you know, all these different things. So,
which there's a lot of that with Girl Boss Graphics.
Cool. Well, hey, at least you're applying what you've learned. So. Kind of going into your first experience outside of school, you went to work for State Farm, and what you achieved there, again, seems like a really big milestone. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
Can you remember what exactly that led you into an interest in branding and marketing once you had the success there at State Farm?
Yeah, absolutely. So with State Farm, I actually started out at State Farm in Abilene, where I was going to college. I was looking for a part-time job. And so I got a part-time job with a State Farm agent there in Abilene and just was doing sort of file work and stuff. And then I got that interest to become a representative and be able to sell the insurance. So then I started doing that. And with it being such a small office there, I did all of their marketing work, and he would allow me to do like these crazy promotions that I still have pictures of. They're pretty hilarious because I would make them like out of foam board and stuff and have this huge display like that. Like it's funny thinking back about it. It's very Pinteresty. But so he just really allowed me to explore my creative side and go for any of the crazy ideas that I had. And so once I graduated, we decided we needed to move to the Metroplex. And so I started applying with State Farm agents up here in the Metroplex. And in one day, I had three interviews. And one of them was with Al Clark State Farm, who happens to be the number one State Farm agent in the country. And so I was really nervous about that one. And the other two, I wasn't so nervous about. But I got the job immediately at the interview. And I started working for him on the acquisition team. And we did a lot of events and stuff, which I was involved in planning a lot of those. And it just sort of being able to plan those events and different ways of marketing and different ways of focusing on niches or target audiences and and how to market to each of those target audiences. Like State Farm is amazing for marketing. They have awesome commercials that people still repeat to this day. But some of their sales material and like actual papers and brochures. Like, I didn't like the way things were worded. And I was like, well, can we redo this so it sounds better? And they're like, no, there's compliance, blah, blah, blah. So I guess I've just always been interested in the way things look and how they present, how things are presented.
Okay. Yeah, that's funny you should even bring that up. What you were just talking about, it's called niche marketing, right?
Yes.
And a lot of people have, in the past couple of years, actually, have made popular what's called niche product development. And I believe that the skill that you learned having to do niche marketing is a lot more relative or useful in today's world, especially since, you know, the difference really, I guess we could say, is that niche marketing is taking a product that already exists or something that's a little bit more general and being able to, you know, realize the audience that exists and being like, okay, how do I make a message to make these people realize that this is the product that's going to help them do whatever they need to do or, you know, add value to them, right? So that's niche marketing. Niche product development is more of a, I'm going to go talk to these groups, this group of people, see what their issues are, and then they come back and make a product for that and then resell it.
Right.
You see the difference? And so it's two kind of different skill sets, but I think that, again, what you were doing with, you know, niche marketing is that it's much more applicable to a lot of people that are, you know, especially into jobs that, you know, they're just now going into, maybe out of school or something like that. And then the product already exists and it's like, okay, how am I going to, you know, sell this product that we have to, you know, our potential customers. So that's cool. That's cool. I like that you got that experience. So, moving a little bit fast forward here, because obviously there was a lot of time between you starting to work at the number one State Farm agency and then deciding that you wanted your own business. There was a whole section in there where you were chief marketing officer. And by the way, how was that? Was that like a small company or how did you?
Yes, it was a financial planning and wealth management firm. And that is where my passion for branding really came alive, because I was given this position as chief marketing officer. They hired me saying, we know nothing about marketing and we have no clue how to do it. So that's why we need you. And so I went in there, and within the firm, what we did is create three planning divisions, which is really more of the niche marketing. That's where I got a lot of that experiences, because we created three planning divisions, which were focused on certain niches and target audiences. One was the veterinary planning division, where the focus was solely on veterinarians. And one was called Fitnance, which was focused on fitness professionals and how these fitness professionals who come into a lot of money, how they should manage all of that new income. And then one of them was called the care planning division, in which we helped families who have children with disabilities with their financial and estate planning, because that looks completely different for those families.
Right.
So I really created like three completely new brands within the firm, and creating the brands and new logos and new names and everything was a way to target that firm and attract that audience to us.
Wow. Yeah. So that's okay. Got it. Cool. Basically, what I'm hearing is that you had this progressive interest and more interest and more interest, and then eventually you just kind of hit a peak where it's like, I love this stuff so much that I want to help other companies do it, and that's kind of where Girl Boss Graphics came from. Okay. So, when did you hit that peak, and can you describe it about how the entire thing just kind of got started?
Okay, so the way that Girl Boss Graphics got started is I became a Beachbody coach a little before my wedding, because I needed to get in shape for my wedding, and I saw that as a great way to do it. And in becoming a Beachbody coach, I got really involved and connected with people in my area who were also Beachbody coaches. And one of them was Ember Neville, the owner of Fired Up Fitness. And it's a group training studio here in my area. And she was just really inspiring. And she motivated me to work and to get things done and to just go for it. So I would go work up at the studio with her at like 5 a.m. in the morning, 3 days a week, just so we could get work done. And in doing that, I would be creating graphics and stuff for my Beachbody coaching business and how to promote that and whatnot. And in doing that, she was like, "You're really, really good at graphics. I'll pay you to do the graphics for my studio." And so that's really how it all started. Wow. And then from there, it's just blown up.
And you were doing all this. You were doing this while you were getting ready for your wedding and working for that company.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool.
Wow. So you didn't really necessarily have that problem where, you know, a lot of people that want to start their own business, they kind of feel like they, you know, find themselves saying, "Oh yeah, I'll help you for free," sort of thing, which is kind of one of the problems that Layla had. You had someone that's like recognized what you were able to contribute right away and be like, "I'm going to pay you for that."
Right.
Nice.
Wow, you're so fortunate. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So it eventually got to the point where I had a lot of clients and graphics that I was doing, and it came to the point where it was like I don't really have a need to be at Chalk Column anymore. And if I'm going to make this happen, I just need to go for it. And if I don't go for it now, then when will I ever go for it? I got to take a leap of faith and cut that salary that I was getting and just have faith that I'll be able to make ends meet and make it happen. And the minute that I did that I cut those ties and quit my job and said, "Okay, I'm done with that stage of my life," was the minute that I started seeing my business bring in the success I needed to sustain monthly bills.
Good. Awesome.
That's really cool. Did that happen around the time that we met, Charlotte?
Yes.
A couple months ago. Uh-huh. Oh, that's what you were telling me. I remember now, that you're at this goal and you were telling me that you're going to get there. You don't know how you're going to get there, but you're going to make it happen. So I sensed that determination when you were telling me that. That's really cool. I mean, I just recently became unemployed, so I'm kind of in the same boat, just a couple months
right
behind.
Yeah. It's uneasy waters, but, you know, it's kind of one of those sink or swim sort of things. And I know that, you know, people are totally capable, especially you, Layla. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I think if you don't believe in yourself, then who's going to believe in what you have to offer them?
Exactly. Exactly. It's amazing when you find what you're looking for, or when you find what you like and you're good at it, and people tell you you're good at it. It's an amazing drive. It's such a big, deep motivator. And that's so cool that Amber saw that, and then she was willing to kind of put the seed in your brain and start thinking like, "Hey, maybe I have this niche and maybe I can make a living off of it."
Right. And I do appreciate her so much. And that's what I've realized since meeting her and being around her a lot, that you need to compliment others. If you see a talent of theirs, tell them about it, because you don't realize the amount of impact that it can have on their life.
Exactly.
So true. Exactly. So true.
So kind of before we get to the next question, let's kind of step back. You had mentioned that you actually had already had other clients. How did you go about getting your name out there? And for one, and for two, how did you present yourself in a way that, you know, they saw that you were for real and that you actually wanted, like, you know, reward for actually doing something for them?
So the way that I got my name out there is just through social media, through Facebook and Instagram. And I didn't pay for any ads. And still to this day, all of my clients are referrals, every single one of them. And I have over 85 clients at this point. And every single one of them are referrals or someone who's found me on social media. And I still haven't paid for ads, although I don't recommend not paying for ads. Like, ads are great. I haven't had the need to do that yet, because I'm getting so much business from referrals that I'm just trying to sustain that. But so, yeah, I got really involved on Facebook in different groups of Beachbody coaches and asked people to spread the word, tell their friends about me. I didn't even really ask, actually. It just happened. Like, they would post their cover photos or whatever I'd made for them, and people would be like, where did you make that? What app did you use? And people would respond, oh, I use Charlotte Bunyol or Girl Boss Graphics. And
oh, then, nice.
So that's sort of how it happened, just like through the grapevine. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. And that's how I met you, was basically through a referral as well. And I saw a picture and I was like, who is that girl? And I think that's just amazing, by the power of a referral and word of mouth. It's much more impactful than an advertising
right.
Or an ad.
No, referrals are key. Like, if you can have a yes. completely referral-based business, then you're doing something right.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you generally bring up the discussion that you're not for free, though? I mean, that you're a legitimate business.
Oh, because what I have to offer people is valuable and can really help their businesses grow, and they're going to see a return from what I have to offer, whether that be an increase in interest from their target audience, or whether that be building a full-fledged brand and helping them identify what that looks like for them.
Right. So let's just kind of pretend that I, for example, was needing help with some graphic design work. And, you know, for example, one of your biggest competitors is like maybe 99 Designs or something like that. And so people go to 99 Designs and they're like, they have these three tiers that they see like immediately in front of them. And they're like, well, I'm going to pick that one. And then they have, you know, people compete for the actual income for the artist. Now, as someone that's doing this more of a, you know, this is what I have you to offer, so someone comes up to you and they're like, okay, I need this, 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 and this. How do you tell them that this is how much it's going to cost? Or do you have like different tiers, or how do you do that?
No, I don't have different tiers necessarily. They just tell me what they need. And if they're mm-hmm. needing a whole bunch of stuff, then I present the idea of a retainer. I do have clients on retainer that I do continuous graphic design work for them every month, according to the amount of hours they're needing. Otherwise, it's usually just a cover photo or a Facebook ad that they're needing,
mm-hmm.
or help with their branding and brand consulting and identifying what that brand looks like for them.
Right. Okay. So you just basically have an idea of everything, you know, this is how much this has cost, and then this is how much this costs. And
right.
You just kind of, okay, cool. Because a lot of people, the reason I'm kind of digging deep into that is because a lot of people struggle with figuring out how to price themselves
yes.
and how to give value of what it is that they're
no.
doing. And I just, you know, I want to have someone that has actually been doing it for a while be like, this is how I do it. This
oh,
is how
okay.
it applies in the real world. And so that's kind of why I ask those questions, is because, you know, frankly, it's like, how do you become a graphic artist
right.
on your own and, you know, actually get paid for it? Well, you know, talk to someone that actually does it. So
no,
that's
I completely understand that question. And so the way that I've priced myself, at first I started out at an hourly rate, like, and I started out pretty low. But I was worried every time I raised the prices, I was so worried that it was going to be too much, that I was going to lose all my clients or nobody else was going to buy from me because it was just too much. But my husband, thankfully for him, he continued to push me to raise my prices. He was like, you're working for this much an hour, and that's ridiculous. Like, your work is bringing people value. You have some of the very top coaches in the Beachbody industry. So why are you so low? And I was like, because I wouldn't pay that. Well, of course I wouldn't pay that, because I wasn't making enough money to pay for that. They are. And if I'm offering something of value to them, that's bringing them a whole bunch of business because of the work that I've done for them, then I need to start seeing that value in myself and just, you know, put that price out there. So the longer that I've done this and the more experience I get with graphic design and the better I get at it, I increase my prices. And I think as a freelance worker or designer or just an entrepreneur in general, the better that you get at what you do, you have the right to raise your prices. And anybody that asks questions about, well, why did you increase your prices? Like, that's usually not going to happen, especially if you're working with other entrepreneurs or individuals, because they understand that the better you get, the more demand there's going to be for you. Therefore, it's going to be a higher price.
Mm-hmm. That's so well said, Charlotte. I really like that, you know, because that's something that I struggle with too. It's like, what is your value? What can you offer? And sometimes you think, what would the customer like to hear and would want to purchase? Because, you, like you said, they have the income to be able to afford that because they are making a higher income,
right?
And to want that service.
And if they don't see the value in investing in their brand, which is going to be the face of their logo, is the face of their company. If they can't see the investment that and the worth of that, then it's not even worth working with them because they're not serious about, and they don't believe in their brand themselves.
So true.
Right.
And you and I have been working so closely together by my brand, and you know how you've been so good at, and not just pushing me to think out of the box, but also seeing like, what does this image show for other people to see of who you are. So it's a big deal. It's such a big deal. And so if people are not willing to put the investment in it, then you probably have a client that would want to invest towards your services.
Right.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
I'm really curious to know, Charlotte, how did you approach your boss and step down from that position? Because you were the CMO of that company. How did you tell them that you decided to step down? Because I think that's really hard for some entrepreneurs who have a full-time job. They're making a high salary. They have a passion they want to do. They want to follow. How can they get the courage to say, hey, you know what? I want to step down from this position and do my own thing. How was that for you?
Well, I just approached it as, you know, what I'm currently doing for y'all, I don't believe that it's where my purpose lies. And I've found a passion in doing graphic design and branding for individuals and entrepreneurs. And I'm good at it. And I think this is where I'm at. And I need to go for it because this is what I should be doing. This is my calling. And, you know, he completely understood that. I had two bosses, and one of them was sort of a family friend. One of them was my actual boss. And they completely understood. And he's always, you know, I don't know.
You weren't nervous at all. You weren't worried.
Yeah, I was nervous, but I just did it.
You felt calm.
You just have to do it. You have to believe in yourself and what you're doing. And so I did.
Good job. Well, the reason why I'm asking that question is because I've been in that situation, you know, just 48 hours ago, I went through that situation. And I know a lot of people that I've spoken with that have this gift. They are confident in what they're doing, but they feel that if they quit their job, they're going to get so much bashing, so many people, you know.
Who's going to bash them? They don't have to see those people anymore.
Exactly. But it's hard because I know it's hard for some people when they don't have anyone to look up to. Do you know what I mean? So that's why I had to ask that question.
Okay. So let's kind of go into back to the formation. So you had a lot of clients and you decided to put at the insurance company, the Talk Column Associates, and then you wanted to start your own thing, and you ended up calling it Girl Boss Graphics. So, where does the name Girl Boss Graphics actually come from? Why Girl Boss, and why graphics with an X?
Yes, so Girl Boss. I read the book by Sophia Amoroso, # Girl Boss, and I just really liked everything that word meant and empowered. And so Girl Boss, like I am a girl boss. I consider myself a girl boss. I'm doing my own thing and I went for it and I'm succeeding as a girl, as a boss. But for graphics, the graphics with an X, I threw the X in there just as a creative, out-of-the-box sort of touch.
Okay.
So it was either, it was between Graphics Girl or Girl Boss Graphics. And I went with Girl Boss Graphics.
Cool. And who would you believe is your audience that you're trying to get with that?
My focus is other entrepreneurs. I want, my goal with all of this is to be a place that entrepreneurs or startup ventures or individuals can come to help, to get help with building their brands. Like right now, I don't think that exists. If you want, as an entrepreneur, if you want help with building your brand, you need to go to a marketing agency. And that's going to cost you thousands of dollars. Like there's not many options out there besides the places like 99 Designs or online companies that do branding and or do custom logos for you. They don't offer you an entire branding experience and help identifying what your brand really looks like and how to create a strategy that will be successful for your brand. It's more just about, let's create you a logo. We don't even know anything about you. So that's my goal with all of this, is to provide entrepreneurs and individuals a place to come to build their brands. And yeah, a lot of my clients are girls, but I do have clients that are guys too. I know my name's Girl Boss Graphics, so obviously my focus is a little more on women entrepreneurs and empowering them, but I don't push guys away, of course.
Right.
And so with that, I have gotten most of my clients are Beachbody coaches, just because that's where it's grown. And that's where all of my referrals come from, because I got a lot of the big name coaches of Beachbody, and they spread my information to all of their teams. And so that's just where a lot of my clients have come from, is the fitness industry.
You were just talking about a lot of the stuff that, you know, is available out there. What do you believe is your main reason? And obviously you're doing mainly online work, right? Would you say that? Okay. So why not just focus more in Texas versus, you know, doing everything online? Is it mainly, again, because that's just the way that it started, or is, you know, are you just specifically aiming to do much of your work online?
So the reason that I am online versus a brick and mortar company or something in Texas is because I have so many options online, and I'm building my business online because the products that customers are coming to me for are online products. They're like Facebook cover photos and Facebook ad design. So they're using all of these products online to promote their businesses. So the way I'm promoting mine is how they promote theirs. And I also want to be online because I travel all over the world with my husband. He's French, and from his family still lives in France. So we're back and forth a lot from Europe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my husband's also a professional golfer on the European tour. So we travel a lot of places. Like the European tour, it doesn't mean that it's just in Europe. It's sort of all over the world.
But still busy, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So Charlotte, what really has ignited your creativity, and who and what has sparked your creativity? Did it happen when you were younger, while you were trying to figure out what you were trying to do in college? Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that, because that's really fascinating.
Absolutely. So my creativity, what has ignited it? I would say from a young age, I've been very creative. The person that inspired my creativity when I was younger and really brought it out in me is my mom. She's always been a very crafty person and really has always had a do-it-yourself attitude towards any project. Like we would see stuff at the store that I would like a piece of furniture, and she would be like, we can do that. Or I would see a pretty dress that was really expensive that I would want, and she said, I'll make it for you. And she would. I was also involved with 4-H, which is an organization for...
I was a 10-year member myself. Awesome.
There you go. So I was involved in 4-H, and that's where I learned how to sew and cook, and I did public speaking and sort of like...
Public speaking was a thing?
I did like, I remember doing poems and stuff, sort of like one act, but for 4-H.
Oh, that's so cool.
Really? Okay, cool.
So but mainly like learning how to sew at such a young age was a big part of my creativity and just being able to use my hands and create something awesome. And I always wanted to like paint stuff or make stuff. I was just always really creative. I remember when I was in middle school, I had this window seat in my room and I took magazines and I tore out all the pictures that I liked of the magazines. And then I taped them all on my wall in my window seat and covered like every single part of the walls, like even the ceiling. And my mom came up there and was like, "What did you do?"
That's so cool.
Oh no, I think I stapled them and that's where she got mad. So my mom inspired my creativity from a young age, but now I think that all things really inspire my creativity on a daily basis. Like all of the ads and promotions that I'm exposed to, obviously being a marketing and branding person, I look at ads sort of in a different way than most people probably do. And I look at the fonts and typography and different designs that they've used and how it could be better. But
what would you say to someone that says, "Oh, fonts, those are, I hate fonts," especially if they're trying to do like marketing stuff for a company?
If you hate fonts, then you're not in the right industry.
Okay.
I'm a complete font nerd. Like I probably know more font names than I should, but it's okay.
My favorite font is Helvetica. Did I say it right? Helvetica? Helvetica, yes.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite fonts.
I don't know if I could even name a favorite font at this point. I have too many.
Yeah.
So, but I also think that my creativity, I sort of have a unique outlook and cultured perspective because I do travel all over the world and I've been exposed to their different ways of design and the modernism or just how they really, each country's culture is really embedded in all of their design and advertising. And it's, so it's really cool to be able to have experienced all these different cultures and seen the way that they market themselves and their design. And I'm able to use that in my work with all of my clients.
That's really nice, Charlotte. You know, you mentioning culture and perspective for me, you know, having lived overseas and seeing so many different cultures and countries, I can totally understand that you're thinking out of the box. And I think that's a really great tool that you have in your company. And I think personally that that does bring more business that identifies you and sets you apart than most graphic designers. Especially when you're living in the States, you have a husband that is touring and is from another country. I personally have noticed, even before meeting you, that you have sometimes a Parisian style in your graphics or in your pictures, too. So I think that's pretty fascinating. So back to your husband, how do you manage your life married to a professional golfer and being a woman entrepreneur?
Okay, so with that, me being my own boss and owning my own business and actually having a business that I can do completely online. That has been my goal for all of this is to create something that I could do while on the road with him and not have to be in the States for any meetings or anything like that. Because with my previous job, I didn't have to go to the office every day, but if I had a meeting, then I had to go to the office. So being able to meet with people online via video conference or on a phone call has just made it possible for me and my husband to be with each other a lot more.
Which given you a lifestyle that, you know, makes it possible, but yet, you know, meaningful at the same time.
Right.
Right.
And also, what is your perspective on personal development? Has that been a big influence? I know you mentioned the book Girl Boss. What is your perspective on the personal development side of getting to your business?
I think it's super important to be doing personal development on a daily basis. If you're not learning then you're not really expanding any. And I Google stuff hourly, probably. How do I do this? And I think that alone, like, is personal development to an extent. I mean, it depends on how what you're Googling. But even I post a lot on my Facebook articles from Entrepreneur Magazine. And I think articles like that are even personal development. Just reading something or listening to a podcast, do something for 1 hour each day that's going to give you some knowledge and intelligence that you didn't have prior to doing that thing. Because that's what's going to allow you to grow as a person and gain more knowledge and just be a smarter business entrepreneur.
So you would agree that leaders are readers, but you would also agree that they're also listeners as well, is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, personally, I definitely agree with you that personal development is key in terms of growing yourself and your brand. And I think it's really important that a lot of people do put aside because they think that they have it all figured out. So I think that's good that you're, as you continue to grow, that you're learning at the same time.
Yeah.
Because things are changing, especially social media and everything that's going on the internet.
Absolutely.
So looking at your LinkedIn, Charlotte, I noticed that you have a lot of involvement with causes related to Down syndrome. That to me is just so beautiful and profound. And I think what speaks to me about who you are, can you tell us a little bit more about your involvement with this cause?
Absolutely. So like I mentioned earlier, we created a care planning division while I was working at Chalk Holloman Associates as chief marketing officer. And so with that care planning division, we worked with families who had children with disabilities. And so I got really involved with all of these organizations, and Down syndrome was a big cause that I was interested in because I was working with these kids and volunteering with them at paint classes where we would paint beautiful paintings by Van Gogh or Monet, and they were so good at it. And just their spirits are so pure and kind and genuine that they're just beautiful people. And I love being around them because they make you feel good about yourself. They're always complimenting you. They're always smiling at you. And they're so sweet and just loving. And I really appreciate that about them. But my passion for working with special needs kids really came from a young age. In high school, I babysat my cheerleading sponsor's daughter who was autistic. But I didn't know she was autistic until about a couple of years ago. Her mom said, yeah, she's been autistic since she was diagnosed when she was 2. And what's so beautiful about that is that you never saw the disability in her. You just saw her as Paige, and you loved her unconditionally. And that's why I never told you, because I was afraid that it might change the way that you treated her. But I could see that you just loved Paige for who she was, and you weren't going to judge her for the fact that she might be a little different than the other kids.
That is so, so cool.
Yeah. Well, and so you know, cool. I would agree with the kids that tend to have individuals in general that have Down syndrome. I mean, they are honestly like some of the most positive people you'll ever come across, because they don't necessarily take in all that negativity for the most part that a lot of, you know, quote unquote normal people do, you know. And I've always, at least when I've been around some of the special needs groups that have actually done a little bit of volunteering at different events that I've helped put on, you know, they are always the most excited ones there. They're always, you know, cheering on the athletes as they came across the finish line. And they're just like so excited that it was going on. And it was pure. It was all like, you know,
right.
And just with other volunteers, they're like, man, how long I got to be here sort of thing. And after a while,
right,
you know, and it's
right.
Like, so yeah, no, I know exactly where you're coming from on that. And that's cool. I like that.
They just embrace every moment in the moment. They don't worry about the future. They don't worry about the past. They truly live in the moment. And I think that's a thing that a lot of us struggle with. And if we can just learn to take a step back and enjoy and embrace every moment that we're given during the moment, then we would all be a lot better
right.
off.
Cool.
So, Charlotte, what are your current and future projects?
Okay, so currently I'm obviously doing all kinds of projects for different clients, helping them with their logos and branding and cover photos and all of that good stuff. But I'm currently working on a workshop that I hope to have released before April, so sometime in March, and it's going to be branding like a boss, like just steps on how to brand yourself and create a brand identity.
Is it going to be like an ebook series or more like an actual, like you have to be present and have people?
No, it's going to be more like an ebook.
Got it. Oh, that's awesome. Again, everything on the internet. That's your goal.
Exactly. But as far as future projects go, I am working on an online academy that will be a 12-week intensive interactive branding academy where we really dig in deep to branding and what that looks like for each of the individuals, each of the students in the academy, and how to do it yourself and not have to hire a brand consultant or anything. And so how to do it yourself, and also how to teach people underneath you how to do it themselves. So for the Beachbody world, that works very well because they're all coaches themselves and they have coaches underneath them. And so they need to know how to teach others how to build their brands.
Which again is something that people tend to stumble across whenever they are starting their brand. So that's cool.
I think that's really great that you have that concept, because you're teaching people to teach themselves, and that makes you much more respectable in a sense, because then you're showing that you have grace and what you're passionate about. And so when people see that, they tend to be more attracted to you. And that's what's resonated with me a lot with you and some other people that I've worked with, that they're not so selfless. They want to share, they want to give, and then it just comes back at them. It's great.
Right. Yeah. That's my main goal in all of this, is just to help people get it right. Like help people to be the best version of themselves, and also convert that to the graphics and the way that they present themselves to their target audience. Like if they're trying to be the best version of themselves, then why not present them like they're the best version of themselves?
Exactly. Cool.
So true.
All right. Well, do you have anything else, Layla? You good?
I'm good.
Okay. Just making sure. So, as we're moving here towards the end of the session here, and again, I appreciate you coming on today. Been fun.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
We always go into what is called the rapid fire question segment. And for the most part, they are the same questions amongst all interviewees thus far. And so kind of trying to go for an overarching theme with these questions. And the first one is, what are three things that you'd want people to remember you by after listening to you on today's show?
Okay.
Three qualities, if you would.
Three things that I want to be remembered as is, one, I'm a creative. Two, I'm fearless. And three, I'm living my passion.
Nice. Like that. Very direct and very to the point. Like that. Next question is, what are three people that have been most influential to where you are today? And they can be, you know, business, coaches, or, you know, speakers, or creative, in any kind of creative types, or even family.
Right. So three people that have really been influential or are experts in this industry. I would have to say that Shalene Johnson, she's really big in the Beachbody world. And if you don't know who she is, you should look her up, because if you're an entrepreneur, she has tons of academies that are great.
Yeah.
And that you can learn so much from. So she's definitely one person that I have looked to for information and motivation to make it happen. Another person is Sophia Amoruso, which is the author of #GirlBoss. So obviously she's someone that I've looked up to and who has given me the drive and guts to just go for it. And lastly, I would say that a big motivator and teacher of mine was a professor in college that I had. His name is Michael Weingart, and he taught all the marketing classes at my university. He doesn't teach there anymore. He teaches in Tennessee, I think, Nashville, Tennessee, actually. But he's just a genius when it comes to marketing. He was the vice president of Ford in Europe before teaching. So he knows what he's doing when it comes to marketing, and he knows about personal selling and how to do that right.
Cool. Yeah. There's, you know, when very few times that you have professors and teachers that stick with you for a long time. And when you do, they definitely leave an impression.
Right.
So that's cool. I like that. Next question is, what does success mean to you, and how do you specifically do you achieve that success?
So success to me is aligning your purpose with your passion. And once you do that, then you're really free to fulfill that purpose, and you're able to do something that you love. And that's what defines success for me. Success isn't necessarily bringing in a whole bunch of money. Like, my success isn't driven by money. It's driven by the fact that I'm so passionate about what I do that I would prefer. I heard a quote the other day, and it said, entrepreneurs will work 80 hours a week to avoid working 40 hours a week. And it's so true, because I found something that I'm so passionate about that I'm literally working 80 hours a week on this, but it's driven by passion. It's not driven by stress and anxiety and bosses, because I'm my own boss. So I think once you align your purpose and your passion, then you're really, you've hit a gold mine. And the way that I think you can achieve success like this is just thinking about what people tell you on a consistent basis, or ask you advice on all of the time. Like, what are people saying? Hey, you're really good at this. Or, how do I do this? What app did you do to create that graphic? I had people asking me stuff like that consistently. And so it's like, okay, well, I'm really good at that. How about I figure out a way to how to make a paycheck off of that?
Right. Exactly.
And so I think for other entrepreneurs, they should be thinking, what am I good at? What are people always asking me about?
What am I naturally interested in?
Right.
And what, yeah. Last question is all about action steps, and where can people go, or even more, what can they do in order to have a successful business, and especially as a graphic design artist?
So as far as having a successful business, you can obviously go to my website and I can help you brand yourself. And it's www.girlbossgraphics.com. And you can send me a nice little message or book an appointment there. But as far as graphic design artists go, I am a self-made graphic design artist. I didn't go to graphic design school. I have a degree in business marketing, and I have a lot of interest in graphics. So I think something graphic design artists or people who are interested in pursuing that field, it's a lot of teaching yourself. It's a lot of looking at videos on Google or on YouTube, looking at tutorials on Pinterest, just figuring out how to do it yourself. That's how I've done it. So I don't really have much advice on how to become a graphic design artist, except for just have the drive and passion to make it happen. And you'll figure it out. If you have the least bit of intelligence, then you'll figure it out.
Be resourceful. Well said. Like it.
Yes.
Cool. So again, if people want to find you, they have your website they can go to, and they can find you on social media. What are your accounts on there?
I have a Facebook page, facebook.com/girlbossgraphics. On Instagram, I'm at girlboss.graphics with an X. And come check me out.
Cool. Well, we definitely appreciate you being on today's show, and we'll look for more successful things from you, I'm sure, down the road here.
So. Absolutely. I appreciate you having me. Really, thank you.
Thank you so much, Charlotte.
So there you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you did, please tag us on Twitter at @newinceptions and Instagram at @new.inceptions, and let me know what you thought. I'll subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, and eventually Google Play whenever they decide to get out the podcasts. I've already registered the show on there, so it'll come down on the road. If you want to follow Layla, you can do so on YouTube and Periscope. I'll have the link to do both of those in the show notes, which, again, you can find at newinceptions.com/session26. Oh, no, extras for this particular session includes some videos I think will help you become a better freelancer in a shorter amount of time. The first one is entitled How to Be a Freelance Artist, the Do's and the Don'ts. And in the video, the creator Jazza, J-A-Z-Z-A, talks about some of the hard-learned lessons he's had over the years. Next on the list is a video called What Successful Freelancers Wish They'd Known from the Start, which I actually thought was a pretty good one. And it answered a couple of my questions that I, been having recently about if I wanted to start as, doing freelance work, what could I, expect? So definitely check that one out. And finally, if web design is more your thing, I found a pretty cool audio-only show by a guy by the name of John Morris, who is actually an Army veteran. I think Joel Crane will like that. Maybe get him on the show. Who turned freelance web developer. This time last year, he answered a question, how do I get my first client on Upwork, Elance, and Odesk? And it was a pretty insightful 20-minute piece that I learned a lot from. He has a very real response about building trust first and then showcase talent later. He said that to do that, you want to actually be more of a specialist and to come off as that way. But, honestly, when you think about it, that's true for like any business. It really helps to work a niche first and then build up from there. Also, if you're a regular listener of the show, we're curious, would you be interested in a YouTube version of the podcast? There seems to be a lot of audio-only podcasts on there, and so you can let us know again at heyguys@newinceptions.com. So let us know and see if maybe it make it easier for you to listen to. Maybe it gives you too many options. I don't know. I mean, give us some pros and cons, if you would, of us making the move there. Speaking of niching, and kind of a heads up, I like to believe that New Inceptions, in its current form, is strictly motivation for online business folks. But I think it can be so much more than that. And before long, we're going to start rolling out some information on what does and doesn't work in business development for the newbie. I figure I've been doing this thing for nearly a year now, and there's just so much that I've learned. I want to start sharing that information with you guys as time goes on. On top of what I've learned from some of the guests on here, I've also learned tons from some of the bigger names that are out there as well this past year. And I want to start delivering all that in a digest form through New Inception's products. So just like Fizzle does, I want to make sure that we're giving you guys some things, some courses, some pieces of information that will save you time and money from having to go around all the web to buy this piece, that piece of information just so you can get rolling. No, none of that. We're going to get you good stuff coming up. The first topic we're looking at is going to be a do-it-yourself course in website building. I was not aware in how many people are still afraid of WordPress in 2016. Among other tech-related questions, that's been the number one thing that I've been answering questions about this year. So the first product is going to be a course that'll show you how relatively easy it is to set up your own professional-looking website, especially if code isn't your thing. I'm making it very detailed so that hopefully you can make a site you're proud of. So look forward to that coming out later in 2016. And next week's show, I talk with someone I recently met through a preview for Brendon Burchard's Expert Academy. Teresa French is her name, and she's going full beast mode into becoming a speaker. Her topic, connecting. Like me, she's a John Maxwell team member, and so she knows a thing or two about connecting and becoming a leader, among other things. However, this isn't her first rodeo. In fact, she's a native entrepreneur. How do you become a native entrepreneur? Well, one way is to have a dad that has entrepreneur and business books all around the house as you're growing up, which I gotta admit is pretty awesome. In the chat, we talk about what that was all like growing up with her dad being that entrepreneur business type guy, her first business, what she's learned over the years, and we dive quite a bit into reinvention and career transitioning. I think it's a chat that every new entrepreneur needs to hear. In fact, it's so important that I know that this is going to be a favorite for many of you out there. So tune in next Thursday for that show with Teresa French. Until then, don't forget to head on over to the show notes, which you can find at newinceptions.com/session26. There's where you'll find the show notes about all that we discussed today. As always, thank you again for sharing the show. We've really been seeing a rise in our numbers recently. So again, thank you for that. You know, it just means that we're impacting more and more people, which is, you know, is awesome. I know. Thank you. We want to help as many people do the work that they're meant to do. And you guys are a big part of that. So kudos. Good job, guys. If you haven't already, please subscribe and leave us a review on whichever platform you're using. Beyond making us look good, it also helps new people find the show as well. So I think that's pretty much a wrap for today's show. If you haven't heard it already, you can go check out the show notes at newinceptions.com/session26. If you're particularly thinking about joining the freelancing world or know someone that might be thinking about it themselves. So until next time, keep doing the work that you're meant to be doing, guys. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.